I like Nehemiah. He wasn't perfect by any means, but he was good at listening to God and having the courage to follow where God was leading him. Nehemiah lived in the middle of the 5th century BC. His family had been exiled, presumably with the rest of the Israelites, 150 years earlier, and they'd risen through the ranks in Susa, the capital of the Persian Empire. So much so that Nehemiah was now the king's cupbearer. This was an important and trusted role, second only to the princes in the king's own family. Jerusalem itself had been sacked and burned by the Babylonians, its people carried off into exile. Although some had returned at Nehemiah's day, the protective walls surrounding the city still lay in ruins by the order of Artaxerxes, the very king Nehemiah served. In chapter 1, Nehemiah heard about the state of Jerusalem and prayed that God would give him the opportunity to do something about it. Not 3 months later, he had his chance. Despite his great fear at asking the king to reverse his own decision, Nehemiah explained the situation to the king. To his surprise, the king didn't even question him. He simply asked how long he'd be gone for. And so off he went with a battalion of soldiers and letters to the governors of the region. Our reading today starts as Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem. He'd left the soldiers behind, presumably with the governors, and hadn't told anyone yet of his plan to rebuild the walls. The first thing he builds shows his great wisdom. He builds nothing. He must have been desperate to get cracking. So if he was like me, he'd have been chomping at the bit. But the first thing he builds is nothing. He builds not a thing. After 3 days, settling in, getting to know the leaders, who knows, he heads out at night to inspect the walls, to assess the situation, to see where the gaps are, where the remaining strong parts are, to identify what needs to be done. It's so easy and so tempting to be a flurry of activity, being ever so busy, doing good things. It can make us feel useful and needed. But the thing is, even something like a good thing to do doesn't mean it should be done. Even if something is a good thing to do, that doesn't mean it should be done now. There's absolutely no point fixing the gate in the wall over here if over there there is a gaping hole. During the 1930s, the French built the Maginot Line, excuse my French, concrete fortifications and weapons installations built along the border between France and Germany. The intention was to deter, or at least slow, a German invasion that they assumed was coming. The line was invulnerable to aerial attack and tank fire, and it even had underground railways. Troops could be garrisoned in bunkers with dining rooms and even air conditioning to keep the troops well cared for. The problem was there was a gap in the Ardennes forest. So what did the German tank division do? Well, they went around the wall, through the gap in the forest, encircled the Allies, and then forced the retreat to Dunkirk. The attack started on the 10th of May 1940, and within 5 days, the Germans were advancing well into France. Even in 1944, when the Allies invaded France and the Germans were occupying the Maginot Line, the Allies simply went around it. Activity, even good activity, activity doing good things, can give a false sense of security if we're focused on the wrong place. So first, like Nehemiah, we need to identify the gaps, and then we can make sure we build and repair where it's most needed. Obviously, we're not talking here about us building a physical wall around ourselves. I'm taking Nehemiah's example spiritually. We need to identify the gaps and low points in our faith. Gaps that make it easier for the enemy to attack us. Now, ultimately, God is our protection, and there is nothing the enemy can do to snatch us out of his hands. But the enemy's attacks, little by little, can make us stop trusting in God's protection, can tempt us away from God and away from his protection, and then we're in real danger. These gaps and low points, they start so small and innocuous. Often they begin with a difficult or challenging experience like we all face. Pain, grief, frustration, sadness. If we don't deal with these negative emotions we all experience, they can grow into something much worse, like bitterness, anger, despair. The gaps grow larger, and the enemy prods and pokes them, trying to get in, trying to tempt us out and away from God. Gaps also come when we stop doing the things we need to keep us close to God. We don't feel like it, so we stop. We stop praying. We stop reading the Bible. We stop sharing our faith. We stop caring the poor. I'm speaking from experience here. We stop because it's hard and we don't feel like it. So the gaps start to grow. But Eugene Peterson puts it like this. Worship is an act that develops feelings for God, not a feeling for God that is expressed in an act of worship. Worship is an act which develops feelings for God, not feelings for God expressed in an act of worship. Worship in this sense is not singing in church on a Sunday. Worship in this sense is a whole life lived for God. Following Jesus together, following him every day in every way, is a decision, an act of will, whether we feel like it or not. So how do we repair the walls? Well, it's not complex, but that doesn't make it any easier. We do the things we should and don't do the rest. But we'll come on to that. It's tempting to go straight there, isn't it? But first, like Nehemiah, we must identify. We need to work out where the gaps are, individually and together in our church family. It's tempting to go straight to the building, but first, we must identify the gaps. So will you join me in inspecting the walls as Nehemiah did? It starts with prayer and reflection. And if you spot a gap we need to repair as a church family, please let me know. You've all got my phone number and email address. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Nehemiah and his faithfulness to what you called him to do, and his bravery in spite of the opposition that he faced. I pray you'd give us grace and wisdom, eyes of faith, to see the gaps in the wall, to see the places that we need to repair. Help us now as a church family to do that both in our own lives and in our life together as a family. We ask, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit to keep us close to Jesus always, safe in your arms. Amen.